Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here. Always a blessing to get to teach the word. And it's a privilege, again, to be up here, really, to teach the word to anyone, especially such a wonderful, talented, amazing group of people as you guys are. Well, I'm continuing in the series. The series is The Body is the Temple. And this is part two. And before I start, I just want to say something. You know, when we receive the word, we have to receive it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So the word of God builds. You don't understand all of it at once, but over time, the light bulbs go off. And so this is an actual series, and I'm teaching it in steps for you to understand. So let's see what I've written here today. We're going to look further into the correlation between our body and the temple of God. At the end of the message, we will discuss the analogy of how the wilderness experience, which was the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, how that compares to the three parts of who we are. We will talk about the soul and spirit and how these separate entities operate within our temples, which is our bodies. The more we get to know ourselves, the easier it will be to tap into our born-again human spirit that is directed and instructed by God. It is our human spirit we must learn to listen to and obey. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump right in and get started. This is our base scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:16. And the question being asked by Paul is, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That is the question. Do you know that? Do you know you're the temple of God? Do you know the Spirit of God dwells in you? Well, we're going to get more clarity on this, so let's move ahead. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul speaking here says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see here that Paul is saying, may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be kept blameless, okay? So we're going to look at this. Here I am. I'm a temple. I'm a living temple of God here. I am a spirit. Say, I am a spirit. I live in a body. Pinch yourself. Pinch yourself, everyone. That's your body, right? And I have a soul. I'm pointing to my brain. I have a soul. So let's say this again. I am a spirit. I live in a body, pinch yourself, and I have a soul. Now, your soul is your mind, it's your intellectual thinking, it's your will, and it's your emotions, which constitute your feelings. Anybody have feelings? That's a part of your soul. Do you think with your intellect? That's a part of your soul. Do you make decisions? Yes. Those are all three parts of your soul. So I am a spirit, and I live inside of this body, and I have a soul which constitutes my mind, my will, and my emotions. Okay? So let's go on. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus is actually speaking here. He had been talking to Nicodemus about what it meant to be born again. And Jesus says here, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Holy Spirit is the human spirit. Now, you notice I added the words in there, the holy and human, but this is to bring clarity to it. So let's think about this for a minute. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. What does that mean? That means that we were born, we came into this world out of our mother's wombs, didn't we? We were born of the flesh. Now we're a fleshly being in this world. Our mother's water broke and we came out, so we were born of the flesh, weren't we? That's not the part of us that was born again, was it? No. But notice here, he says, that which is born of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit is the human spirit. So remember, I am a spirit, right? When I was saved, the Holy Spirit came into my spirit and made residence in there. Okay? I was born of the Holy Spirit. Now notice here, here's in John 3:6 again, let's look at the Berean translation. It says, flesh is born of flesh, but the human spirit is born of the Holy Spirit. Your human spirit was born of the Holy Spirit. That means that when you were born again, it was your spirit that was born again. Your human spirit was born of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now let's go on. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. With who? With the Lord. So the one who joins himself with the Lord, what does that mean? That was when you were born again. When you were born again, you joined yourself with the Lord. And now, what does that scripture say? You are one spirit with the Lord. Okay? So we know that the Holy Spirit came and made residence in you. And now it also tells us that we were, when we were born of the Lord, the Lord Jesus also makes residence in us. Huh. Pretty interesting. Let's go on for some further clarity here. Ephesians 4:6. Paul had been speaking. He says, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now we see here that he's speaking about the Father. We have one God. He's our Father, right? He's over us, he's through us, and he is what? In us. So now we see when the Holy Spirit made residence in us, the Lord Jesus Christ made residence in us, and the Father in heaven also made residence in us. In your spirit is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's the part of you that was born again. Now let's go on for some further clarity. 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you. Unless indeed you fail the test. What's he saying there? How many of you know when you were born again, do you know that Jesus Christ is in you? He says, unless you fail the test. How do you fail the test? Well, you don't get saved. You're not born again. You don't believe, right? But when you know, and every believer should know this, when Jesus Christ, when you were born again, Jesus Christ came and he is in you. And that's what he's saying here. And we need to believe and understand. We need to understand as believers, excuse me, that we are a three-part being. I am a spirit. My spirit was born again. The Holy Spirit made residence in me. And the Holy Spirit, along with the Father and the Son, made residence in me. I live inside of a body. I pinch this, my flesh, and I have a mind, my soul. I'm pointing to my brain, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my feelings. Okay, let's go on. 2 Timothy 4:22. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy, what? Spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, how many of you know, again, Paul making note, that may the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. So where is the Lord? In your spirit. He's not in your flesh, and he's not in your mind. He's inside of you in your spirit, man. Your human spirit. How many of you know you got your own spirit? You have a human spirit. And in that human spirit is the Holy Spirit. His residence is in you also, along with the Father and the Son. And we're going to get further clarity on this as we go. John 4:24. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So now we see that God is a spirit, isn't he? God is a spirit. And the way that we worship him, and how many of you know that worshiping him means to be prostrate before him? It also means to commune with him. When it says to worship, you are communing with God. Did you know that? So worship isn't just praising him, but it's also communing with him. So because God is a spirit, as it says here, and they, meaning those of us that are believers, we must worship and commune with him in where? The spirit. In the spirit. So we need to understand that God is a spirit and we worship him in our spirit. That's where, in our human spirit. Okay? Now let's look at Romans 8:11. Paul is speaking here. He says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Huh. Wasn't that interesting? What is he saying here? The Holy Spirit who resides in you, right? He resides in your human spirit. He resides in the human spirit of every born-again believer. He has the capacity to give life to where? What's your mortal body? Your flesh. Did you know that the Holy Spirit who resides in you can give life and make alive your mortal body, your flesh? Yes, he can. But you have to tap into that. You have to tap into that. And we're going to learn as we go, so just keep that in mind. Now, notice what I've written here. It says, we must see, when we were born again, our human spirit was born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only speaks what the Father and the Son say. Thus, the Holy Spirit has the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in him. Since the Holy Spirit is in us, the Spirit of the Father and Son are in us as well. Okay? So we need to think about this. Now let's go on to get further clarity. We're going to look at John 16:1-7 and then 13-15. And Jesus, by the way, is speaking here. Jesus is speaking. He says, I have told you these things so that you will not fall away. Now, let me just stop here before I go on, because I want you to understand, if you read the in context, he was telling them what was going to occur and happen in the last days, okay? And so he's saying here, I've told you these things so that you will not fall away, meaning leave the faith or be concerned when you start to see these things happening on the earth, right? You following me so far? Verse 2. Jesus speaking to us, saying, they will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Now, I want to stop here for just a minute. Can we think of any group of organization of people who think that killing Christians and killing Jews is doing God a service? Think about it. Jesus warned us that that time would come. He warned us that there would be particulars, groups of people, organizations that would indeed believe that by killing us, they were doing God a service. Now let's go on. Verse 3. He says, they will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. So why does the world act like it does? Why do we have such things as terrorism? He tells us right here. Because they don't know the Father and they don't know the Son. So when someone asks you, why would these particulars do these type of things? It's because they don't know the Lord. They don't know the gospel of the kingdom. And again, I want to remind you that Jesus is speaking here. Jesus. Verse 4, he says, but I have told you these things so that when their hour comes, you will remember that I have told you about them. Now, what does this mean when he says, when their hour comes? How many of you know that everybody with God gets their moment in the sun? This group's hour has come, and they're having their moment in the sun. In other words, God loves man so much, he allows us to use our free will to be able to express what we believe. We have free choice. God did not place man on this earth to lord over him in such a way that he made man choose him, did he? How many of you have been married? Let's see some hands. Some of you have been married? Did you force your spouse to marry you? What kind of marriage would we have if we had forced people to marry him? No, God loves us and gave us free will to make our own choice. And just like these particular groups of people and what they do, guess what? God loves them too. He loves them too. They have the same opportunity that we have to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have the same right and privilege that we do. They're no better. They're no worse. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we need to remember this. And we need to also remember what Jesus said, that they do these things because they don't know the Father and they don't know the Son. All right, well, that's not the message today, but it's important. Let's go on. Again, where it says, when their hour comes, you will remember that I told you about them. I did not tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you, he says. Verse 5. Now, however, I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Verse 6. Instead, your hearts are filled with sorrow because I have told you these things. Verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is for your benefit that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now I want to stop here for a minute because this is extremely, extremely important where the church misses it. How many of you understand that Jesus had to go? First of all, we know he had to go to the cross, okay? After he went to the cross, he did show up. He showed up for the apostles, and he taught them for 40 days, didn't he? Because they didn't understand the plan of salvation yet. How many of you know they hadn't had the born-again experience yet? Because Jesus, before when he was with them, hadn't been to the cross yet, right? So they couldn't actually be saved until after he went to the cross, could he? So he came back and he taught them. He says, by the way, the reason I went to the cross, and this is the reason I went, I had to come into this earth. I had to take the sins of mankind, your sins in the past, present, and future. I had to take all of your sins so that you could be saved through me. You see, they needed to understand the gospel. They were taught for 40 days. Why? Because they had to go out in turn and share the gospel with others, right? So they needed to be saved. Okay, once we were saved, Jesus had to go. He had to leave. When he left, he says, it is important. I want you to understand that it is for your benefit that I'm going away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the advocate. Who is the advocate? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the advocate. He's our counselor. He's our attorney. He's our comforter. He's there for us always because he resides inside of us. Now, let's see. Let's go on here. We're going to get more clarity. Verse 13. Jesus still speaking. He says, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. and he will declare to you what is to come. Verse 14. He will glorify me by taking what is mine and disclosing it to you. Verse 15. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and disclose it to you. Now, what I just read is so important. We've got to go over this for a second. Here's a breakdown of what Jesus is saying here. First of all, he's saying it's our benefit that he had to leave and go to the Father. And by the way, Jesus is right now, he's at the right hand of the Father. He is our high priest, and he is making intercession for us when we pray. Okay? That's what our Lord is doing. He's our high priest. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you when you pray. He's making intercession for you. Isn't that nice to know? Okay. So he left, but he sent the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit was sent to us. Now, when the Spirit came, what does he do? He will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he is there to guide you into what? All truth. Not some truth. Not leaving you in the dark about anything. He guides you in all truth. Okay, so that's important to know. He will not speak on his own. Again, remember, Jesus said this. He will not speak on his own. So the Holy Spirit doesn't guide you into anything that he says. He doesn't speak on his own. He only speaks what he hears, okay? He declares to you what is to come. Guess what? God is letting you know. He will always let you know what's to come in your life and what's to come on the earth. He glorifies Jesus because he takes all that Jesus has and he discloses it to you. He gives it to you. And finally, everything that Jesus has belongs to the Father. So now let's put all these pieces of this puzzle together. Let's think about this. The Holy Spirit, when you were born again, comes and makes residence in you, okay? Let's think about it like this. The Holy Spirit's got his cell phone on, okay? His cell phone's on. He has a conference call with the Father and with Jesus, the Son, right? So the Holy Spirit's always got his cell phone on, and he's always in a conference call between the Father and the Son. So everything he tells you is what the Father and the Son tell him. Can you think about it in those terms? Okay? So who is guiding you in all truth? The Father and the Son, because the Holy Spirit is like the mediator between them. Okay, well, the Father and the Son said this. Now you get your direction. The Holy Spirit gives the direction of what the Father and the Son say. Is everybody getting that kind of? Think about it this week. The Holy Spirit only tells you what the Father and the Son says. He will guide you in all truth. He will show you things to come. How many of you know, folks, we're pretty darn well equipped, aren't we? We're equipped. We're equipped. Let's go on here. What I've written, it says, we see the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth by the Father and the Son. Therefore, the Father and Son live inside every believer's spirit through the Holy Spirit. So we're going to now turn our attention on the soul of man. The soul surrounds our spirit. It is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The soul, our intellectual realm, must be renewed by God's word so our spirit can control how our soul thinks and responds. The Word of God renews our soul to think like our spirit. Our born-again spirit thinks like God because God resides in our spirit. Okay? Now, you can take this home. I encourage you. You need to. But again, we're going to learn this line upon line and precept upon precept. But you need to go home and think about these things, okay? So let's go on for further clarity. Romans 12:2. It says, Paul speaking, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your," what? "Mind." What is the mind part of? The soul, right? Okay. He says, renewing of your mind. Then it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, we have just been giving instruction on what is the most important way to find out what God's will is for your life and also to change your thinking. How do we do that? The Word of God does. It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. How many of you know that, you know, when you were born of the flesh, you came out of your mother's womb, and the instant you did, your eyes open and you see and you got the whole world around you. Guess what? Then when you got born again and the Holy Spirit came and made residence in you, a lot of the things that we learned, that we saw, we heard, we touched, we taste, and all that realm, now we need to change our thinking. You say, why? Why did God do that? Because we have to grow. We have to grow. We have to become like Christ. You don't just snap your fingers and become like Christ unless you're going to be an angel. An angel with no free will. But God gave us free will, didn't he? He gave us free will. In fact, he created us in his image. So now I think it's worth that we take the time to grow up spiritually, right? So in order to do that, we have to read the Word of God so that we can conform and change the way that we think, so that we begin to think like God. And that means that we have to change our thinking, change our minds. In fact, remember the word repentance? We know when we repent, right? That's the Greek word metanoia. And what does it mean? To change your mind. How many of you know when you repent, all that means is just change the way you think? Well, I used to think like that, but I realize that's wrong. Now I need to think like this. How many of you have had to change the way you think in your life in some areas? Right? Don't we? So now, as believers, we have to change the way we think so that the way we think lines up with God's word. This is absolute truth. And again, we do encourage that here. This is the absolute truth. Every word of God was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit only speaks what the Father and the Son say, correct? Rest assured that these are God's word in this book. This is absolute truth. You can bank your whole life on it. This is the kingdom. And in fact, when you were born again, you were translated out of the darkness of this world into the kingdom of light and the kingdom of his dear Son. And this book is your manual. The Word of God is your manual. So to transform your soul or your mind, you have to change your thinking. And you change your thinking by reading the Word of God. I always tell people if they're really upset about something, maybe you're going through something in your life, maybe you're a little depressed. You know what I always say? Give yourself 5 minutes, pick up your Bible and start to read. And within 5 minutes, you'll feel better. Remember, Jesus is the Prince of what? Peace. 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 We must live in peace. Okay. Proverbs 4:20 through 22. It says, my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to the whole body. Folks, if you want to feel better, You're not feeling well. We need to learn to think in the spirit. How many of you know we're thinking too much in the flesh? And I'm going to end the message with that in a minute. But I want you to just keep that in mind. You're thinking wrong. You're focused too much on your thinking. You know what? You're still thinking like the world. You're thinking about everything you see, what the news is telling you, the doctor's report. You're thinking about all these things. We're not saying these things are bad, but what we're saying is you live in the kingdom. You've got to change your thinking, start thinking like the kingdom, and not be so focused on, remember, don't be focused on bad reports. Because what did we just read here? The word of God, verse 22 of Proverbs 4, they are life. The word is life to those that find them. It's health to the whole body. You know, there is no excuse, really, for any believer not to just go home and be with the Lord. You don't have to die of sickness. You shouldn't be dying of pain and sickness. No. Uh-uh. That's the enemy. And the reason that the church does die of pain and sickness is because the church has not renewed its soul, the mind, your will and choices, and your emotions, your feelings. We're listening too much to our own feelings, our own emotions. We're listening too much, and then we're making choices that are wrong. We're making bad choices because we're thinking wrong. When you think wrong, you make wrong decisions. Hebrews 4, 9 through 12. It says here, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Now, I want to just stop for a minute. How many of you know that we have a rest that we're supposed to enter into? Now, I'm not talking about a rest that you have, oh, last week I got it. You know, well, I had it for 10 minutes the other day, you know. No, we're supposed to live in the rest. We're supposed to live in the rest. We're supposed to enter into that rest. We can live in the rest if we renew our soul realm, our mind, our will, and our emotions to think like God. We can actually live in the rest because we will stay at peace. And that doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to float along on a bed of roses. But it does mean that when those things come, you can handle it with peace, you see. Peace. Verse 11. Therefore, let us be vigilant to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Now, again, this is talking about when they wandered in the wilderness, right? The Israelites didn't get to enter. Took them 40 years to get there, and most of them from that generation didn't even get to go. Why? Because they were disobedient. Why were they disobedient? Because they didn't believe God. See, this is the problem with the church today. We don't believe God. Well, I know the Bible says that, Heidi, but I just don't believe it. Our denominations, we don't believe that. Well, folks, I got news for you. We didn't get a choice to pick and choose what we believe and not believe in the Word of God. Where does it show us that in Scripture? Yet we're all divided in our particular denominations because one group is uncomfortable with this. Well, we don't believe that, and because they're uncomfortable. How many of you know sometimes you got to get through your flesh, remember, the flesh, and the mind, the soul realm, to get to the real spirit. And to get there, sometimes you got to change the way you think. Get rid of your uncomfortableness and think like God, and you'll change. Verse 12, it says here, for the word of God is living and it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. See, folks, when we read the Word of God, what happens there? It will divide the difference between your soul, your own thinking, your intellect, and the Spirit. What is the real truth? Isn't that what it says here? The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as it divides. What does it divide? Your soul from your spirit. And notice he says also the joints from the marrows. Now, I want to say something here. He's relating it to the joints and the marrows. Your joint are your bones, right? How many of you know in the middle of your bone is what? The marrow, right? Do you know that the life of the body's in the marrow? You know that? So to get to that marrow, you either have to cut the bone or find a way to scrape that marrow, right? You've heard of this, right? And this is just like the Word of God. I want you to think about this. Your soul realm, I want you to think about it like it's the bone. Your spirit is the marrow. So you've got to get through a thick skull. My mom used to say, thick skull, right? You got a thick skull. I grew up German, and I got a pretty thick skull, you know. And both my parents were German, so thick skull. But anyway, we have to get to our spirit man, and to do that, you got to get through your soul. Are you prepared to get through your soul? The way that you think? The way that your emotions take you? How many of you know your emotions aren't always correct? Your emotions, God gave us emotions, but when those emotions and those feelings don't line up with God's word, then you're thinking the wrong thing. So I want you to remember this. The next time you get depressed, I want you to think about what you're thinking. And then I want you to take what you're thinking and see if you can find anywhere in Scripture that tells you to think like that. I can almost guarantee you won't. So the good news is, whatever you're thinking that's making you depressed, that's bringing you anxiety, that's causing you some type of an uncomfortableness, I don't care if people are saying things about you. It doesn't matter what people think. I wouldn't be concerned what people think. You need to be concerned what God thinks. He's the one you're going to answer to, not all the people in the patent place of the world that you live. And besides, most of the time when people get upset about something, it's because they're not happy. So you need to love them and show them the Lord. So the Word of God is going to divide our souls from our spirit, and that's very important. I want you to keep that in mind. And finally, the last scripture here, Hebrews 11:6. And I wanted to just throw this in because it's important. It says, and without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Because anyone who approaches him, meaning God, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Guess what, folks? God rewards you. He does not punish you. He rewards you. Now, I told you we're going to end the service, but let's look at the picture for just a minute. Let's look at this picture. Notice here in the middle represents us. Now, we're going to first look at the body. Remember, our body's what we pinch. Now, look here to the right. The body represents Egypt. Now, the Jewish people lived in Egypt, didn't they? They were in bondage, weren't they? They were slaves. They were burdened down. How many of you know that your flesh will always be contrary to the Word of God? Your flesh. So this is your bondage. Your flesh is never going to line up with the Word of God. You have to make it. But you're in bondage to your body. And notice over here to the other side where the temple is, that's the outer court. Now, I want to say something about the outer court, and we've talked about this. All the Israelites were allowed to go into the outer court. In fact, when the people had sin, when they had any sin, if they had anything they needed to repent of, they would go to the court, and they'd enter into the outer court. And there they would enter his gates with thanksgiving. They would enter his courts with praise. So that also represents the body, because our sin is in our flesh. Now notice here the soul. Again, our soul is three parts, and we're going to expound on that in the future. But we have our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our soul represents the wilderness. And this is what I was talking about. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Because their minds would not line up with God. Because the way they were thinking, they were disobedient because they didn't believe God. How many of us do the same thing? I know people who spent their whole lives in church, years and years in church, yet they're still wandering in the wilderness because they've never lined their soul up, their mind, with the Word of God to think like God. So they wander around in the wilderness. Now, the soul also represents the holy place. The holy place is where only the priest was allowed in there. That's where the table of showbread was. By the way, the table of showbread is a word of God. So how do we get the word of God? We put it into our souls, don't we? We put it into our intellect, right? The other thing that was in the holy place was the altar of incense. That's our prayers. How do we pray to God? We pray through our minds, don't we? Through our soul. We think of our prayers through our minds. And finally, the golden lampstand is also in that holy place, and that was the light of the Holy Spirit. So when we pray in our souls, we're supposed to pray in line with what the Spirit tells us. And I know this is a little deep. And finally, the third place is the holiest of all. And where is that? Our spirit man. The holiest of all is where the Ark of the Covenant was. God was there, wasn't he? And the holiest of all is, guess what? In your spirit. Remember, when Jesus went to the cross, that veil of that temple rent in two, and God left that building, didn't he? And where does he reside? Inside of you. Remember, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So now the holiest of all is in you. God is in you. So I know I've given you a lot to think about. I encourage you to go home this week and just think about these things. And we will continue on this series to make it even clearer. So, because the more you get to know who you are and the three parts of your makeup, you will literally be able to control those three entities at all times. How many of you want to have control of your life? You want the blessings of God. You want to know God's will. You got to know who you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure thank you for your word. Lord, your word is so rich. Father, in this series about the body being the temple, we need your wisdom, Lord. Father, help us to realize the three parts of who we are. Help us to realize that we need to renew our soul, which is our mind and our will and our own emotions, by reading the Word of God and learning to think like you. So, Father, I just pray that everyone who hears the sound of my voice will take the time to understand who they are so that they can walk closer with you. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.